Welcome to Voice Rising with Kara Johnstad. Enjoy weekly conversations with leading luminaries, pioneering visionaries, singers, poets, musicians, and sound healers as we explore the profound role our voice plays on the path to self-realization and global enlightenment. The internationally acclaimed singer, composer, author, healer, recording artist, voice expert, creator of Voice Your Essence, and founder of the School of Voice, Kara Johnstad, uses her extraordinary spiritual gifts to empower others. Everything in this world vibrates. Everything has a frequency. A pioneer in the field of voice work and transformational songwriting. Her breakthrough methods are helping thousands of people worldwide fine-tune their body-mind-spirit system and unlock the energetic frequencies of limitless creativity, health, and abundance. Share your voice, ask your questions, join in the conversation. Receive life-changing, positive transformation and rise together to create a sound world. And here's your host, Kara Johnstad.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Voice Rising. I am Kara Johnstad, and with me in studio today is one of the central voices in the new consciousness movement, Lynn McTaggart. She is the award-winning author of 7 books, including worldwide bestsellers, The Field, The Intention Experiment, The Bond, and her latest, The Power of 8. Welcome, Lynn, to our show today.
It's great to be with you.
Oh, I'm going to just dive right in here. As you know, I have a lot to do with the voice, and I'm really excited to talk to you today about a frequency of the voice, which is the power of intent. And so during a decade-long work on intention with many prestigious scientists, you discovered the astonishing fact that when people carry out intention for each other in small groups of 8, miraculous healings occur virtually in an instant. So can you share with us a little bit more about the power of intent?
Sure. I mean, I wanted to test this back in 2007, when I published my book, The Intention Experiment. I wanted to find out how far we can take intention, because there had been a lot of things at the time, a lot of stuff about, you know, the power of manifestation, the law of attraction, all of this stuff. But there hadn't been any real, you know, evidence. So I put together a book with all of the evidence about intention, but also I wanted to test it, you know, to see how far we can take it. Are we talking about just, you know, shifting a quantum particle, or are we talking about curing cancer with our thoughts? Mm-hmm. And I was also really fascinated about the idea of what happens when lots of people are thinking the same thought at the same time. So I decided to launch a thing called the Intention Experiment as an experiment. And every so often I would invite my readers or my audience, if I were speaking somewhere, to send an intention to some controlled target that had been set up in a lab by one of a number of prestigious scientists who are working in consciousness research and agreed to be part of this experiment. And I didn't really expect it to work, but it really worked. We've run 33 experiments to date, and of those 33, 29 have shown positive, measurable, mostly significant effects. You know, there's no drug out there with that kind of consistent track record. So just after I had launched this, I was curious about what would happen if I just shrunk this down to a small group in a workshop I was running. But I wasn't really sure what to do. I thought this would be a real experiment, and I'm kicking around how to run this. And I say to my husband, who is also a journalist and my partner in this work, I said, oh, I don't know, maybe I'll put people in a group of, you know, small groups of 8 and have them send healing intention to each other. And he said, I like it, the power of 8. So that's how this started, completely by accident. So we put people in groups of 8 at our first workshop in Chicago. I knew how to do intention from studying with intention masters and studying what works in the laboratory. I'd created a program for that I call Powering Up. And so I taught them that, but I wasn't really sure what to do in groups. You know, should they hold hands? Should they be in a circle? Where should the person who's the target be? All of this stuff. So I'm basically making it up as I go along. And I do this and I expect that I ask them to report back the next day how they felt and how they are. And I expected this to be a, you know, a very modest feel-good effect, like getting a facial, something like that. Mm-hmm. But that is not what happened. When people came back the next day and started reporting on what had happened, the people who were in the targets were saying things like this, you know, I have cataracts and I am.
Later in the show, but I think there's no coincidence that you kind of stumbled upon this mystery 8 number. And I was also fascinated the word intend coming from the French, you know, the old French word means literally to stretch out, right? I mean, it means a goal, an end, an aim, but it also means this feeling of stretching, to stretch out.
That's
interesting. I thought, it means intention, of course, and purpose, but it means to stretch out. And do we all carry a longing within to stretch out into the field, into something much bigger, to connect with a much bigger healing force? I mean, I as an artist know that I carry that. But do you think that each and every one of us longs to widen to our, you know, our feel our expansiveness?
Oh, there's no question that we yearn to feel a feeling of oneness. That's mm-hmm. why there are so many people trying to achieve enlightenment, because that really is, you know, a path to oneness. And what I was so fascinated to see in my Power of Eight groups, and later with a study that we did with a major university on these groups, what was going on with their brainwaves, is that that's what happens. People lose their, according to their brainwaves, the parts of the brain that make us feel separate, like the parietal lobes that sit toward the back of our head, they help us navigate through space. So they say to us, this is me, this is not me. They were turned way down during these group sessions. And so were the parts of the brain involved with worry, doubt, and negativity. So these were people who were in a state of ecstatic oneness. And when I compared this to other brainwave studies, I thought it was going to look a lot like the brainwave signatures of meditation. But it wasn't at all. It was completely different. It was much more like University of Pennsylvania studies that had been done on Sufi masters during chanting and Buddhist monks during ecstatic prayer. These people had achieved a state of oneness, and so did my people with Power of Eight groups. And in that oneness, in that sense of being part of something bigger, part of the field, if you will, then, you know, miracles happen.
Miracle healings happen. And I just was thinking about the back of the brain or the back, because in voice work, in singing work, we do a lot of focus on that back area, because you were talking about the same brain pictures with people that were chanting, or we know that the Sufis do a lot of voice work and the power of intent. So is intention, or what is intention? Is it intention plus a certain frequency that we're holding when we tune in together, which equals healing?
I don't know if it's a particular frequency. What I know is that we get on the same frequency.
Right.
One of the interesting things about people who do things together, even studies they've shown of guitarists, when they start playing together, their brainwaves start working in sync.
Right.
And we also know from other studies done by the Institute of Noetic Sciences that when somebody sends a healing intention to a partner, I mean, they did this study of couples where one of the partners had cancer, and when when the well partner is sending healing intention to the other, to the partner with cancer, their brainwaves start synchronizing, their heartbeats start synchronizing, their breathing starts synchronizing, the rate of their blood flow to their extremities starts synchronizing. You know, they two bodies become one. So I think that is part of what's going on, that we start getting in sync on the same frequency.
Yeah, there's a beautiful line, more than one, less than two.
Which <I've>, That's which great. I love that.
Which I've always loved very much. Well, I see our voice as layers, and you talk a lot in your work about the power of intent. You also talk about affirmations, talking about prayer fields. We have the dreams, journaling, the spoken word, the singing voice, where we know as musicians also that we are synchronizing. And like you said, if we're tuned into a beloved or a very dear friend, we're literally syncing our breathing together and syncing our thoughts together. Here's my thought for you. Just like we have a true voice, we also have a lot of voices during our lifetime that we have ingested, absorbed, a lot of different belief systems, a lot of different thought systems. Not always are they focused on wellness. How do we try to tune into our own clear voice before we send it out into the world in these beautiful healing circles that you're creating?
Right. Okay. That's a big question, Kara. I teach people how to get over their own negativity, and many of my workshops and online webinars. But I will say this. I think one of the most powerful ideas and personal frequencies is a real sense of what you were put on this earth to do. You know, when people tune into that, and I don't mean something general like love everybody, I mean a very specific thing that they do, whether it's, you know, a particular job they do, or becoming a parent, or being an amazing spouse. You know, it doesn't have to be being president of the United States, or even, you know, baking the perfect chocolate cake. You know, it's whatever they feel they were put on this earth to do. That is a really powerful and strengthening thought. And that essentially is a protection against negativity. But, you know, intention, becoming a really good intender, takes some practice. You know, I've found from, as I say, my work in trying to mix ancient wisdom and modern science, in trying to see what are the best times and places and heart states and brain states to do intention, that there are some techniques people need to learn. It's not just about thinking happy thoughts. And so that's one of the things, as I say, that I teach in my workshops and retreats, et cetera, is how people can do that. But one of the things that people always get wrong, I would say, is they're too general in their intending. You know, a lot of people say, oh, no, don't make it very specific. Let the universe decide. You know, the universe may have different ideas for you. Well, that's prayer. You know, if you want to do intention is a very specific request to the universe. And in my experience with both the experiments and my experience with groups, and I've now run thousands of groups, I found that the more specific people are about whatever it is they want, the better they are and the more likely they are to achieve it. So instead of, you know, I want to be rich, which is a lot of people do that kind of intention. But most people don't really mean that. You know, they don't mean I want to be rich. They mean, you know, I'd like to change my job, or I want more free time to be with my children or my grandchildren, or to pursue a hobby, or I want something else. I want to move house, and I need $20,000 more. So what I always tell them is, don't do that. Ask the universe what you need. If you need $20,000.03, ask the universe for that. That's a really, really important point.
Right. I love the word also universe, because we're in a conversation with the universe, which is basically unified verse. So if we're talking about synchronicity, we can synchronize ourselves and unify, right? To create unity with that field.
Well, that's it. And I think the fast track to that are small groups, because then you actually experience it.
Right. Correct. And then we're going to come to, very soon we're going to have a break, but after that I want to dive into actually this power of eight, because if we talk about the unity in music, we have the octave. And that's what fascinates me so much, not only about the power of intent and your work. I also love the book, The Bond, which I thought was fascinating, but also this idea that, when we play a note on the piano and then we have the octave, we are basically doubling frequency and at the same time unified. And that goes throughout music all the time. We're doubling. The A is the A is the A. And we're playing the same A, and whether it's a tuba or a piccolo, we have the same A, but in different frequencies. So I'm going to dive into that after the break. So here's a little station break, and then we'll be back, Lynn, with more thoughts on the power of eight and miraculous healing with using our intent.
Great.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Conflict comes in many forms and often triggers a fight or flight response. Some of us gravitate toward conflict, while many will stop at little to nothing to avoid it. Unfortunately, what we resist will persist, which often forces us to face our fear and deal with it head on. Join me during my show, Conflict Rising, as I discuss the important role of conflict with leaders who have moved through it successfully. Tune in Thursdays at 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Remember, it's always darkest before the dawn.
With happy clients all over the world, Kara Johnstad knows that your voice is the missing link to more authenticity, abundance, creativity, and health. An internationally acclaimed voice expert, Kara's breakthrough methods have helped thousands of people successfully heal their voice wounds and extinguish the story of self-doubt and shyness forever. Join in group trainings, attend online sessions, schedule one-on-one time, and invite Kara to work with your organization and community. Get started today. Go to www.karajohnstad.com. and receive a special guided meditation designed to fine-tune your inner voice and welcome you on the voice journey.
Why was the basketball court all wet? Because the players kept dribbling on it.
The dad joke. Corny, groan-worthy, but also one of the simplest ways to share a moment with your kids.
What did the buffalo say when he dropped his son off for school?
Bye, son.
So take a moment to make your kid laugh, because dad jokes rule. Make your kid laugh today. Go to fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
This is Voice Rising, and I am Kara Johnstad. We are back with Lynn McTaggart, an expert on the science of spirituality. And Lynn, you've discovered a lot of things while researching for your newest book, The Power of Eight, and that we are able to tap into our extraordinary human capacity for healing using the miraculous power of group intention. And now I would love to focus on this magic number, because I think it's not a coincidence that you use eight. I know it's a good book title, The Power of Eight, although The Power of Seven might also work. But eight is the symbol of harmony and balance. It is also, I thought it was very beautiful, the amount of clouds in the sky is measured in octas. And it's the atomic number for oxygen. And it's a mathematical symbol for infinity if we lie it on its side. And there are eight planets in our solar system. And it takes 8 minutes for the sun's light to reach the Earth. And here we have all these circles of eight. And I was talking before the break about, as a musician, we also have the famous octave, which is basically always doubling itself and at the same time unified. So was it really a coincidence, eight and not 10, 5, 6, or 2? Or was it
well,
just magic?
Well, you know, there's the whole idea of there are no accidents, you know, synchronicity and all of that kind of stuff. All I can tell you is what I relayed before and what I relayed in the book, that it was something that just came into my head. I hadn't researched anything. I wasn't really meaning eight, exactly eight. And, you know, I called it The Power of Eight because it's what I said at the time and what my husband very funnily said is The Power of Eight. And that's exactly how it happened, completely by accident. But here's what I know. Yes, there are amazing connections with eight and eight as infinity and all of those wonderful displays of it in nature. But when I've looked at group healing, it works with five, it works with nine, it works with 12. You know, it is, eight's a kind of Goldilocks number. It's not too small and not too big. But I found, you know, you need more than about three. And probably once you get to many more than 12, it becomes a little unwieldy. So if you want a small group, that is a kind of ideal figure. But that is what I've looked into. I haven't looked into a lot of the esoteric and metaphysical ideas about, and even biological ideas about eight. But it is fascinating. And as you say, maybe there are no accidents.
And also, as a sound healer, I hear things in sound bites. So it also reminds me a lot of the word innate, that this innate power that we carry within that you do talk about, this strong intuition that we all carry, right? So the innateness of being. So do you think there is a coincidence in the word innate and eight, or are we getting too metaphysical here, or should we dive
maybe
into something
else? Well,
we're
getting too metaphysical for what happened in my thought processes.
Yeah.
But I think it's always fascinating to talk about, you know, all of these wonderful connections. Listen, it is innate. It is so totally innate, and that is the fascinating part of it, because we really demonstrated that with that study that I mentioned. We did the brainwave study on Power of Eight groups. Life University volunteered to study these groups for us, and we have an ongoing study. But we did the first one, and it's in the book, The Power of Eight, by recruiting a batch of students. Life University is the largest chiropractic university in the world. And they recruited some of their students. We just asked for volunteers. And we would put an EEG cap, which measures brainwaves, onto one member of each group when they were holding intention for some member of the group all together. And we found all of those things that I told you, the lowering of the parietal lobes, the lowering of other areas of the brain that make us feel separate, the lowering of the right frontal lobes that are involved in worry and doubt and negativity. All those things happen, but here's the fascinating part about it. All of our volunteers were complete novices. Most of them hadn't even meditated before, let alone done a Power of Eight group. And with most of these kinds of practices that where you go into unity, you need hours and hours of priming sometimes. You need years of dedicated, disciplined practice. Our people, all they had was a 12-minute video from me explaining essentially what to do. And nevertheless, they were transported into this completely altered, unified state. So the conclusion that I had to draw from this was that, you know, essentially you don't need sweat lodges and you don't need years of disciplined practice. You just need a group, a common intention, and you've got a fast track to the miraculous.
Which is a fast track to what our world needs now.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I think that is for me, for me, that's just so mind-blowing because we have the tools and we have the answers. And now is the question whether we're able to receive the information and then put it into practice. Because you've proven not only that it is doable, but you've proven also that people without having spent, you know, 10 years in the Himalayas or, you know, like you said, maybe years and years and years of a meditation practice, that, you know, ordinary, you and me and everybody else can create a group and set the intent, and whether it's for the planet or whether it's for a good friend who has cancer or whether it's for, you know, a young child, we can set the intent and find collective healing. I mean, you prove that with the research, which I think is, you know, is to the place now where we get to say as a humanity, are we willing to stop making excuses and blaming and really take on that responsibility, the ability to respond to simply do the work. And it's an easy work, right? I'm sure it's enjoyable to come together in a beautiful group of 8 or 10 or 7.
Absolutely, Cara. It is. I mean, this is what's been really interesting for me when you say, you know, we really need it now. One of the things that I do, I run a year-long master class where I teach people over about 6 weeks or so, and then I put people into groups, and they carry on with the groups for a year. Mm-hmm. And I observe, and they actually record any changes month by month by month. And I started out doing this actually as my own little petri dish of a study just to see, well, what happened? And I found when people met religiously, with my first group, it was about 250. Mm-hmm. And of that group, 150 or so met religiously every week. And of that 150, pretty much everybody had miraculous, amazing transformations in their lives. Not just health, although we had some incredible health stories. We had somebody who had chronic suicidal depression, that he got over that. We had a woman with terrible chronic fatigue. She was barely able to exercise for 5 minutes before having to lie down all afternoon. She got over hers. We had somebody repigment vitiligo, the illness where you lose pigmentation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, many, many like that. But we also had people receive windfalls, just the amount of money they needed, just when they needed it. We had people receive amazing job offers from out of left field. We had people rediscover, you know, a new life purpose and all kinds of things like that. But we had, it was this incredible group effect. And many of them talk about it, saying, you know, this something in the group did it. It wasn't, you know, I've done much intention, many said before, but when I was doing it individually, it's not anywhere near as powerful as in the group. And some talked about, well, it's like making a vow to a group. You've got to carry through. Or just having that support, knowing that somebody who was a group of what were total strangers have your back. You know, that is all so powerful. Not to mention some sort of miraculous effect that happens with intention in a group. And I think one of the key pieces here that I've discovered is altruism. I mean, that is the extraordinary thing about it. What happens in these groups is that not only do the people who are the targets of the intention heal, but the people who are doing the sending also heal. I noticed that with my intention experiments, I decided to survey the audience when I did an intention experiment to lower violence in Sri Lanka back in 2008 when there was an ongoing civil war. that was just going nowhere. No one was winning. It was just intractable. And it was incredible what happened. Within a few months of our doing intention, the government, which had been losing, ended up taking control of the rebels in the north. And in fact, they won all of the decisive battles that turned around the course of the war during the very week we did our intention. We did it over 8 days. And within a few months after that, that 25-year war was over. So, mm-hmm. you know, did we do this? Who knows? There's a lot of variables going on, but the coincidence was extraordinary. I think the more interesting thing was when I surveyed my participants afterward, they talked about how their lives had become more peaceful. You know, thousands of them wrote in. We had about 15,000 people do this experiment all over the world. And they wrote in about how they were suddenly getting along better with their partners or families, or they were making up with estranged relatives, or they were getting along better with their tricky boss. Almost, you know, a majority said, I'm more in love with everybody I come in contact with. You know, they were hugging strangers. And I was freaked about that until I started again working in the small groups and found that you didn't necessarily have to be the receiver. Many yeah. times when the groups weren't working for one of the people, I can remember a woman called Andy who was trying to get a new job through a group, and she was trying everything, and they were intending everything for her, and they were even intending that she get over any feelings of scarcity and this and that and the other. She was recently divorced with two young children and really needed another job. And she was very qualified as a marketing person, as a coach, with lots of credits, young woman, and she just couldn't get a job anywhere. So finally I just said, Andy, get off of yourself. Start intending for someone else. Mm-hmm. And she did. Mm-hmm. She started intending for a young man I had introduced to all of the groups, who was, his stepfather wrote to me, he was 15 and he broke up with his first serious girlfriend, and in a fit of adolescent angst, he threw himself off a 40-foot structure onto hard ground. So Luke, his name was, broke every bone in his body. Mm. And so I had all of the groups focused on Luke 3 weeks in a row. And it was really interesting. I mean, the doctors didn't even think he was going to live. And Luke got out of the hospital in record time. Now, did we do this? His big changes seemed to completely correlate with the times we were sending intention. You still can't say, well, hey, we did this. But what was really interesting is what happened to Andy, because the moment she got off of herself and started focusing on Luke, out of the blue comes a phone call from somebody she doesn't even know offering her essentially her dream job. Wow. So that happened over and over and over again, too many times, where there were miraculous changes in the senders for me to discount that something was going on here that was a mirror effect, not only with the receivers, but the senders too.
Well, I guess that's where the line comes, given you shall receive, right? That's given
well,
you shall receive.
Well, you know, this is it. I mean, when I was looking for antecedents to this, I thought, you know, there has to be somebody did this before me. I was looking through esoteric religions for practices. I was looking at indigenous practices. I was speaking to experts on religion, on health, and all of these kinds of practices. And while there were plenty of circles, you know, circles that are used in every religious situation, you know, every religion. You know, the Catholics and Christians have prayer groups. The Jews have minions. They need 10 men to do prayer for someone who's sick. The Muslims circle around the Kaaba, the sacred site in Jerusalem, the sacred site that they have. And all of those practices are carried out in those religions, but there was no antecedent for these mirror effects. So I kept looking and looking and looking. And I found this this preacher, this Baptist preacher, who had written about a mistranslation of the Bible in the early part of the 20th century. And he said that in the portion of the Bible where the apostles are starting their church, and Jesus has already died and is ascended, and they are carrying out his teachings. In the Bible, as we have it, the King James Version, it says over and over that Jesus taught the apostles to pray with one accord. Now, that is a very anemic phrase compared to the original in the Hellenic Greek. You know, the Bible was written in, they believe, Aramaic, and then translated into Hellenic Greek and translated until it got to English. And in the Hellenic Greek, they use the term homothumadon to talk about how apostles were supposed to pray. And by that, they meant passionately and with one voice. You know, think of you as a voice person. Think of a Beethoven symphony, you know, where all these different sounds come together, all these different instruments come together for this giant collective sound.
Right.
That was what he was talking about. And when he said, when you pray this way, you will heal and you will be healed. And
perfect.
This,
yeah,
to me, maybe thought, and when you look at when they describe how the apostles prayed, and when they prayed with the first people gathering for their church, 120, they always prayed passionately and with one voice.
Yes, they always prayed also in unison. Hold your thought,
yes.
Lynn. We're going to take a very small break. We'll be back with Lynn McTaggart and the Power of Eight.
Conscious lifestyle to your world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
I'm Kathy Williams, host of Sexy Mom Abundant Life radio show on Thursdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. On the show, we explore living abundantly in every area of your life. Ways to let go of limiting patterns and beliefs and to step into the flow of creativity and possibility, knowing you are supported by the universe.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
This is Voice Rising. I'm Cara Johnson. We are back with Lynn McTaggart, expert on the science of spirituality and author of her newest book, The Power of Eight. So, Lynn, we are talking about the mirror effect. We're talking about creating those healing circles all around the world. And when individuals in a group focus their intention together on a single target, a powerful collective dynamic emerges that can heal longstanding conditions, mend fractured relationships, lower violence, rekindle life's purpose for the individuals and also for the group. But the greatest discovery of your experiments is this mirror effect that we were just talking about in the last part of the show, that somebody who send something out can actually receive great gifts without even, you know, we were just talking about, I forgot her name, but she, you know, looking for work and actually sending the intent for healing of a young boy, Luke, I think he was his name, and Andy was her name, I think, and receiving it back. So I don't want to be metaphysical and esoteric on you, but it is kind of funny that the number 8 is a mirror of two circles put together. Sorry, yes. I was thinking about that. When you were talking, I was like, the mirror effect.
That's
and resonance.
Another one.
And
that's quite amazing.
That's another one. It's if you look at it. So how, let's talk about that mirror effect. I think you also call it the boomerang effect, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's the same thing, right? So
yes.
Okay, so what have you learned so far? You've been doing all these studies, and the great thing about all your work is that, of course, it's not just a philosophical, imaginative work. This is very much based in research and scientific studies. I was, I know you did one study, I believe, where you literally, one person or a group was in Australia and the other group was in Arizona, is that correct? And you sent thoughts through water, or you were projecting thoughts into water, and they managed to receive it?
No, not quite that. What we did was we decided to do an experiment with seeds. And I was working with Dr. Gary Schwartz, a noted psychologist, and his lab team, who were at the University of Arizona in Tucson. And so my first, sometimes I did experiments where I would get my audience, if I were speaking somewhere, to send intention. So it so happened when we decided to do this that I was going to speak in Sydney, Australia. Mm-hmm. So I had an audience of about 700 people, and the scientists sent me photos of the 4 sets of seeds that were in seed trays, 30 seeds each, and they labeled them A, B, C, or D. We chose, with the audience, one of the seeds to send intention to. We didn't tell the scientists which one. We sent intention to one of those, you know, sets of seeds. And when we were all done, again, not telling the scientists which ones we sent intention to, we said, we're all done. And that was the signal for them to plant all 4 sets of seeds. And then 5 days later, they measured them, the seedlings, to see which were the highest. And the seeds sent intention were significantly higher than all the rest. And that occurred in the 5 other times we ran that study. So we ran it 6 times in total, you know, not just with Sydney, Australia, but also when I was teaching in a smaller group in Rhinebeck, New York, a big group of healers in South Carolina, in Dallas, in Los Angeles, and then over the internet. We did one over the internet, too, where we had thousands of people participating. And every single time, the seed sent intention grew significantly higher than the controls. Now, just think about this for a second. Let's unpack this. Let's think about the first one in Sydney. So the seeds are in Tucson, Arizona. We, the intending group, are in Sydney, Australia, 8,000 miles away. And also, we're not just sending to the seeds, you know, themselves. We're not intending to for the seeds themselves. We're sending intention to a photo of the seeds, you know, a symbolic representation of the seeds. Nevertheless, we had this effect. So it certainly argues for the idea that we have, we create a psychic internet when we come together and we do intention as a group. And that was one of the really amazing discoveries that I had. And with small groups, it was clear that people didn't have to be in the same room together to do these Power of 8 groups, although that's how we started. When I'm doing master classes or webinars, or even with the groups, we have thousands of groups that have organized via my forum by advertising for a group in their time zone or asking to join a group. We found that, you know, in the main, most of these people are meeting virtually. They're meeting on Skype or Zoom or, you know, even a free conference call. Nevertheless, we have the same effect as if they were in person. So when I talk about those masterclass people and 100% of them having major changes, in the main, most of those people have never met the people that they've met, you know, they've met with. They've never met in person. People who they've met with week after week after week. However, these people become like their intention family. They become closer than anybody else in their lives because, as I say, there's something really powerful about having a group of strangers do unconditional love and intention for you.
Yeah, that is amazing also that it doesn't mean that we have to physically meet, that we can also create these groups in the what we call virtual reality. And that's always the question. Many people think, oh, it's only virtual, but it is reality. It is a form of reality. I know that when I also do my groups or the live streams, or you and I are talking, we are talking, you know, through flat screens and microphones, and yet we feel connected, and that's the same field that we're creating, right? Have you done any research, Lynn? I'm just curious. I'm assuming that when you're sitting in a circle and sending intents, that the room is quiet. Have you done research? What happens when we add, similar to what you were talking about, the Sufis or the chant, the similar brain fields, when you add drum or when you add singing or chanting with the same intent, when you amplify that vibrational field with music or through music?
Well, we do for all of my intention experiments. I do amplify it. What we've chosen. When we did our first experiment in 2007, it was at a London conference we ran, and I asked my audience to do a first seed experiment with Dr. Schwartz. Different kind of one. We were just trying to do a subtle effect, not make them grow faster. What we did with the intention experiments is we started out really small and then took baby steps toward what we ended up doing with peace experiments and healing experiments, et cetera. But with that experiment, when I was about to start, and the scientists had sent me the photos, and I thought, some of the people in this audience probably have never meditated. Sitting there and just holding that thought for 10 minutes might feel like a long time. So I said to my husband, maybe we should add some music. Would you ask our bookstore manager to give us a CD? And so Mel at the bookstore hands Brian, my husband, a CD, and he says, here, use this one. It was called Reiki Chants. Choose the first one. That's a good track. So we chose Choco Ray. And I found out later, as I said, my system for getting people in the right intentional state, I call powering up. And Choco Ray for Reiki Masters is essentially about powering up, I hear. So, you know, maybe there's no accidents. And now because it's kind of a signature, I use it for pretty much all of my intention experiments. However, the people who do the intentions are master class groups. Many of them do it in silence and prefer silence. Many of them do it with music. We don't find that it enhances in any way the outcome. For many people, it might help them get into the state faster, but we have powerful, robust outcomes with total science. Silence.
Maybe my question too was not only if you use music in the background or to support the room, but also the, you know, chanting or singing. You know, like, I want healing, or, you know, to unify it in song, if there's been any research done on this with people singing,
really,
like the Gregorian chants, Gregorian.
Yeah, I haven't. I mean, we've tried doing it in, you know, in churches where there are sacred spaces, because there's plenty of evidence about sacred spaces holding a kind of a collective vibration a collective field effect that change REG machines. So I haven't done it because, all of my work is a scientific experiment. And so I've started out with certain modalities that I discussed with Dr. Schwartz and with other mm-hmm. scientists that we've worked with, and we came up with certain ways we were going to do it. And in fact, I'd even discussed, well, I'm going to add some music. Do you think that's all right? And mm-hmm. it's not music with voice, you know, it's a voice, but it's just a kind of it's just sound, you know, mm-hmm. it's not words. My feeling is this: a lot of people have asked me, well, why don't you try adding this, and this teacher has tried this, et cetera. What I want to do is just follow what we've done and
right.
build this body of evidence, and that's what I've right. tried to do. If I start adding lots of pieces, I don't know whether it'll work or not. I don't have that history of it working, and I don't have the, you know, in any area of when you try to do something scientific, if you're going to change one variable, you know, then you've got to control all kinds of other things for it. And that's
of
the
course.
Only scientific way to determine whether what you've added has made a change. So mm. that's my feeling now. And there are people saying, well, let's add this or let's try this. And my usual answer to them is, this is what I know works. Why don't you try this first? And if it doesn't
yeah,
work
yeah.
for you, okay, then move on and try something else. But this has worked enough times in the thousands of groups that I've run for me to know that something's going on there.
Exactly. So how can someone start a Power of Eight group in their own community or join a Power of Eight group if they'd like to jump in and do this amazing work that you're doing in the world?
Well, thank you. Well, first of all, they can set up a group. My book, The Power of Eight, explains all the steps they need to take to form a group and what to do and the kinds of things they need to do for powering up. So they can get the book if they want to establish one in their own community. If they want a virtual group and they don't have seven other friends who are like-minded, they can mm-hmm. always come onto my website, lynnmctaggart.com/forum. And if they come onto the forum there, they can then join one of the groups that is in their time zone or advertise for other people to become part of their group. So we have thousands of people who have done that and are, you know, meeting regularly as a result. And the other thing they can do is come onto one of my courses. I'm running one starting Saturday called Become a Better Healer with the Power of Eight, which is a three-part course. And we have a really exciting retreat that is happening in Spain in October, end of September and October, where we're going to be holding it in two former monasteries, now lovely hotels, because, as I mentioned, there's a kind of a field effect, reverberation that has been scientifically measured in places that are sacred spaces. And some of our retreats, we've tried having people do Power of Eight groups in a church, and it's amazingly powerful. So we'll be doing that, and all of that information is on my website, lynnmctaggart.com.
I saw that reverberation, resonance, and mirroring. It's kind of the same thing for musicians, at least, right? So we put
yes,
it out, and it
exactly.
comes back to us. Cathedrals are the most beautiful places for most singers to sing. How quickly could we live in a healthy and peaceful world if each of us jumped onto this train that's moving and committed to a Power of Eight group, if only for one time a week? What are your thoughts? Could we just...
Well, yes, and it's a way to overcome polarization, too. One of my big intention experiments a year ago was to do an intention experiment for Jerusalem. I used equipment. I did it from a studio where I could be beamed into nine different locations. So we had cameras in locations in eight different Muslim cities, and the ninth camera was in an auditorium filled with Israeli Jews. And I also ran this live over my YouTube channel. And what was amazing was not just the intention itself, but what happened afterward. Because it was interactive, this system, the people from the different locations could talk to me and talk to each other. And the Muslims started saying things like, "Your God is our God," to the Israelis. And the Israelis started saying, "We love you, sister." And everybody was crying and everybody was making up. It was just amazing. And I've seen that several times, where this kind of polarization diminishes when people are coming together as this group effect. And it's very easy to describe scientifically. It activates a thing called the vagus nerve, the longest nerve in our body, that gets activated when we show a sense of compassion. And what that does, as has been scientifically demonstrated, is people feel closer to the other.
Very beautiful. Then we've come to the end of our show. I thank you so much for being with me here at Voice Rising. I hope to have you back again very soon. And thank you again for all your powerful work, the gifts that you're giving back to our world. May there be world peace now, in the now. Thank you.